Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 874. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, well, it has been a loud couple of days at Shea DeFrango with new siding going up. And 2 12-hour days by the crew who are A, hustling, and B, doing a very good job. So I don't mind so much. But, you know, it has been a little unnerving for the animals of the house and for the wife. So, you know, the end result is going to be worth everything, but it's it's been a rough start to the week here at the DeFranco residence in some respects. But be that as it may, because I did do some extra working from home this week, I did catch up on, quite frankly, a glut of wrestling that we are now supplied by both solely by AEW and WWE. And yeah, without even looking outside those confines, we have a whole pay-per-view that, despite everyone's proximity and possible attraction to Detroit, and no one ended up attending this event. SummerSlam is upon us, Chris. And it's as good a way as any to review the last SmackDown and Raw. But, well, I shouldn't. It wasn't the last SmackDown, but I feel like now the more the go home SmackDown is the one beforehand. Just
yeah,
because
the
pay per view is
the next day, and you don't get. They've done a somewhat good job of late. Putting matches of the people of anyone prominent not on the major pay per view on the SmackDown, which is a fine way to do it, I guess.
Right.
Except for those people who don't make the big show. And I guess speaking of people who not making the big event, Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus basically pulled from SummerSlam and put on a random Raw in 2 weeks. To make room for the Slim Jim Battle Royal.
Yeah, that is a curious decision.
It is, and I have not been a big fan of this feud. I have been very adamant that they just should have feuded Becky with Rhea Ripley, who also is not going to be on SummerSlam either, because they're going to drag out her feud with Raquel longer than that. Maybe that'll be the match in Pittsburgh. Yay.
Jeremy yes. will be happy if that's the case.
Yeah. So, yeah, but still, they've dragged out this feud for a fairly long time now.
Oh.
It seemed, you know, primed for a SummerSlam blow-off. Now they're going to do it in Winnipeg and on an episode of Raw. I won't be able to watch it because I'll be on vacation. And maybe it won't be the blow off. Maybe they'll do something else to get that match to Pittsburgh as well. Yay.
A number of things falling in our laps.
Yeah, I guess so. And then, you know, I feel bad for Beth. I feel bad for her in this situation. It's, you know, that big of a name, you know, not having a place at SummerSlam. It's definitely speaks to, they have not been treating the women's division with the most care these last several months.
Yeah, it has not gone well. Because even the more, you know, formalized feud and women's match, at least involving a championship with Asuka, Charlotte, and Bianca, is in a weird, like, they've done a good job building it. Like, it's definitely gotten TV time and stuff has happened within it, but everyone's...
And they've taken to calling it a main event now. So yes, SummerSlam has 4 main events. we're headed towards five, then maybe six.
So yeah, like the women's division, even the one, even the segment that got time, it hasn't really been the greatest at featuring everyone involved. Like, everyone just is coming off super petty in that thing.
Yeah, they're coming off super petty, and at times it just feels like if Charlotte and Bianca was the end game, why is Asuka the champion? Why did they do this? Charlotte came back the very next week after Asuka won. Why wouldn't you just do Bianca and Charlotte one-on-one? Just along, that goes along with my question, why wouldn't SummerSlam, why wouldn't you just do Rhea versus Becky? You can drag it out longer than that and get another pay-per-view or two out of it. But still, why wouldn't you do that at SummerSlam?
Yeah, Rhea Ripley's title reign has been marred with inaction.
She has no, they made her so strong, she has no viable challengers. And yes, you can present Raquel as a physical threat, but everyone knows she's not winning.
Oh,
the only viable threat to Rhea is Becky.
WrestleMania is a long way off if that's really what the end game is here. And because SummerSlam has come and gone, I really don't expect it between then and now, honestly.
No, I think that they're going to, they made it very clear that Rhea and Raquel isn't for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So they can get that, they can put that on Payback. And I guess it's a fine match for Payback. And then, from there, just, whoever they can build for a 1 month challenger until we get to Becky.
Yeah.
Not necessarily how I would do things, especially since that it is such a weak roster overall. But that's what they're doing. And in some respects, the women's stuff at SummerSlam is in the running for weakest part. They did everything you could do to get people to care about Ronda and Shayna, and they deserve to be commended for the effort they put into that.
Those segments were great. I fall into a little bit of this. It's too late still, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I guess is where it falls down to. It's just like, okay, like this is one great thing that you put together, but none of it has still made any sense. Especially the fact that Shayna Baszler is definitely being painted as the good guy in this situation, and she's the one who did the turning to start with.
Oh yeah, I mean. Ronda is just so unlikable. It's insane. Her downfall should be studied. and exactly, I'm not sure exactly when it all went wrong, but it went wrong at some point, and it's been a sight to see from the height she was at. It was probably about 10 years ago, and then her rise. There was a fall, but her first year in WWE really was kind of a redemption for her. Then she went away and had a kid, and then came back, and nothing was ever going to be the same again.
No, nothing has gone smoothly for her. Like, I feel like we've talked about it a lot, honestly, about how this has all gone awry. I've definitely made the contention more than once that at least part of it is not her fault, considering we're kind of talking about it already. Like, the women's roster hasn't been treated well for a while, honestly, at this point.
No, and you can't even point most of the blame at Vince McMahon. It is probably mostly a blame Triple H situation. There's nothing really has been grabbing your heartstrings or whatever you want to say it. Just nothing has really grabbed me as far as the women in quite a while now.
The only thing that I can think of, and this is a whole side trip from a SummerSlam preview. One of the weirder things that that I enjoyed this week was what's her name, Maxxine Dupri against Valhalla. Like,
that's been fun. That has been fun, and you know, the finishing move that Maxxine, you know, busted out was actually very impressive.
Yes.
I was surprised that, you know, she was able to pull that off. Valhalla's, you know, quite a bit bigger than she is, and Maxxine is legitimately inexperienced. They legitimately pulled her up from NXT insanely early to fill this spot. So it's, you know, that was a very difficult move to pull off, and she did it, and she did very well. I think it's, I mean, you could absolutely get a Maxxine Dupri challenge of Rhea Ripley down the line. You could do that. You could get that underdog story. You could get a B show out of that without a doubt.
I could see that happening sometime between now and in WrestleMania. I would say it's probably going to be within the time frame between now and whatever. I don't know what the last pay-per-view of the year is, but I would guess it'll take place before the Royal Rumble, if it does. Because they would probably have a slightly more serious challenger for the Royal Rumble, if there is even a singles match there.
Yeah, I imagine that, yes.
So, but yeah, I mean, there haven't been even characters like that, like undercard characters for the women. Well, you know,
they're trying to get Shotzi's revenge on Bayley, you know, over, and that should be, you know, that should be something good to have, you know, as an undercard women's thing. Yes.
What was the other thing that I was thinking of other than Shotzi? Oh, I guess I have enjoyed the level of annoying that Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green have turned into.
Yes, I do enjoy that. Although the decision to have them lose so decisively to Bianca and Charlotte, who don't even like each other, that was definitely a step back, and that was something that was an aging cranky Vince, you know, thing that he would do with the tag team division all the time, you know, over the last, you know, 10, 15 years.
Yeah, that was, I didn't really like that aspect of things. It's just a bad position to put them in. If you separate it as a singles match, it's not as bad.
Well, no, not at all.
But when you have it happen in the tag team format, and the baby faces, I'll go with it, get the win. It's a little bit of a strange situation. So there has been some fun undercard stuff for the women. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's just been the main event that's been a bit of a mess.
Yeah, it really has, yeah. I mean, the triple threat match on Saturday should be a good match. I'm sure I'll enjoy that a lot.
Not questioning the quality of that match.
No, and then, you know, putting MMA rules over Ronda versus Shayna is interesting. It definitely makes it more interesting. It'll make it something different. Whether it will fully work in front of a live crowd, or, you know, whatever kind of, you know, catch-as-catch-can submission style match they're gonna do. We shall see. But at least they're trying to do something different with it.
Because if they really... I was going to say, have they actually defined what that means? Or is it...
I assume it just means a submission or knockout wins.
I wasn't sure if maybe they would go with... what's the Heritage Cup? and go, you know, and go kind of true MMA style and just do rounds if they were going to do something like that.
It might be that. There's a possibility that there will be rounds. They haven't really explained it. Maybe they don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, this was not the first time that the WWE has thrown out a new stipulation and not listed what the parameters may or may not be. So always a bit of a guessing game with them. So yeah, I guess that was one thing that kind of crossed through my head. I don't feel like they do that too much in the WWE, so I'd be surprised. Like, the Heritage Cup is one of the few things that I can think of that had, you know, like, except for, Brawl for It All way back in the day. Like, I mean, they haven't had anything to me that's been around. Like, every now and again, they'll do the timed events that they did with Gunther and Chad Gable this week.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, yeah, nothing like that. So, okay, I think that knocks off the ladies off of our SummerSlam preview.
I guess we could predict winners.
Predict winners. Okay, sure, go for it. Asuka versus Charlotte versus Bianca. Who do you think is coming out on top?
I think Asuka's gonna retain.
Yes, new fashion sense Asuka, who's in slacks and very loud t-shirt, or really loud shirts. I think she is gonna retain. It's a triple threat match. They always talk about how the champion doesn't need to be involved. And does that happen every now and again in the WWE? Yeah. Does it happen most of the time? No. Go with the champion in a triple threat match. Always a good choice. And then Ronda, Shayna, are we seeing the official sunset of one Ronda Rousey after this match?
It sounds like it, there really is nothing left after this. It's not like they're doing a regular match and then they can build to the MMA rules match. They're just going right for it. So I think this is it, and I think Shayna's gonna make Ronda tap, because still technically in combat sports, Ronda has never tapped. It's the one thing you've got left.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, yeah. I think that's the way it's gonna go too. Like it just doesn't feel like you'd hurry up this angle to the degree that they have if this isn't her last match.
Yeah, I've heard the phrase "hard out" used many times to describe what Ronda's told them, that, you know, this is it, I'm done, I'm out. I think some injury issues delayed what would have been maybe a longer term storyline, but it sounds like Ronda had told them a while ago that SummerSlam was it.
Yeah. So yeah. Got to put over your buddy before you leave the territory, and Ronda is honoring wrestling tradition in that fashion. Well, I guess it'll be official on Saturday here if she does or not. So there's a lot of interesting matches here. Let's start with a. Is it the lone? Oh, there are two non-championship matches. This is probably the less important of the two. Ricochet versus Logan Paul.
How dare you say a Logan Paul match isn't important?
Well, the other non-championship match, if so, specific WWE-like qualifier there.
I know what you mean.
It is Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar.
Okay, there's also a Battle Royal, remember that?
It's not a match.
It's not a match?
It's, okay. It's that's kind of its own animal, and like you said, it just got thrown in there.
It's a sponsorship deal. And I assume it's just an excuse for LA Knight to win a match on SummerSlam. Hopefully.
Yeah, it seems destined for an LA Knight victory. Since what? He's the first entrant in it, I believe.
Yes.
So, yeah, if you're the first entrant in some random match that's just been thrown together, I think you're winning it, throwing it out there. So yeah, okay, that's Battle Royal out of the way. Ricochet and Logan Paul should be a lot of fun. As much as maybe it's, to me it is less important than Cody versus Brock, the card outside of the women looks really strong, honestly. Like, all of these matches should be really good matches. There's some level of intrigue. Logan Paul is really loving being a slime ball these days. I was not shocked by the barb at Samantha Irvin this week. So to get a little bit of an extra rise out of one Ricochet. And they've done a pretty good job of making this a personal feud. And dare I ask the question, has Ricochet finally stepped up on microphone work in response to Logan Paul?
A little bit, but there's still going to be some awkwardness. It's just not who he is. I mean, it's weird. Because to land a woman like that, you got to have some game. And it doesn't... That just doesn't project itself on TV for some reason.
Yeah. I think it's been his best presentation.
It has, yes.
It's still not blown away, though. Or still not going, oh, okay, he's really turned a corner here. Like, he found his wrestling voice, I guess, is maybe the best way to put it.
Paul is carrying this thing on the microphone, without a doubt. Just a fantastic heel. No idea. I mean, I guess they got the Roman Reigns. They got a mismatch and a Roman Reigns match out of him as a babyface. That was never going to last. It never should have. He's a great slime ball heel. I'm looking forward to him kind of, you know, this seems like it's also, you know, giving him someone low enough on the card that he can win, that he can win a match for the first time in like a year.
Oh yeah, because what, he won the tag match with Miz in his not
Miz.
Oh yes,
that he hasn't won since. That he hasn't won since. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. It's just an excuse for him to win. He's already kind of, him and LA Knight have gone back and forth. You know, you can. I think at some point I've said this over and over again. You know. Get that U.S. title on LA Knight as soon as possible. If it happens in front of us in Pittsburgh, that would be great. And then eventually you can get to LA Knight versus Logan Paul for the U.S. title.
Yeah. I mean, that would be another fun match to see.
And the promos would be outstanding as well.
Yes, it would be quite the microphone battle between those two.
So yeah, I mean, I think what we're saying is it'll be a fun match. It may end up being the opener since allegedly Logan Paul has asked to open the show so he can get to his brother's fight in time.
Oh. I mean, the WWE does like to start hot, and that could be that style of match, yes, like, suits yes. that.
Yeah, it really does suit that, yes. And once again, you know, I think we can get a, you know, score a win for Logan Paul, and, yeah, get him back really, really up and running as far as, you know, he's actually a threat.
And move him on to maybe some... other big, well, yeah, LA Knight would be a bigger fish with or without the championship. That's a fun one. I guess, do you want to go to the other non-championship match?
Or... I guess we could. Poor Cody has just gotten his ass handed to him week in and week out here. after that first win. Brock has made him pay for that over and over again. Shockingly, this match doesn't have a stipulation. Even though every time they interact with each other, there's chairs, there's steps. It's kind of weird that, you know, in their third match after all this, it's just a regular rules match.
Yeah, it is pretty shocking that there is no stip to this one.
Yeah,
how many weeks in a row do they refer to it as a fight? Like, you know, like, yeah, they went out of their way not to call it a match.
Yeah. Somewhere along the way, maybe they decided to do give Ron and Shayna the fight moniker and the MMA rules, which would not have worked for Brock and Cody. I mean, well, it wouldn't have worked for Cody. And then they seem like, you know, and this may be a Roman Reigns influence, a Paul Heyman influence. One match on the show gets to have all the weapons.
Yeah,
and then they call their spot.
Yeah, I mean,
you think Brock would have some say, but I think they're gonna be as wild as they can be under those parameters, and you know, say that the referee's just gonna let him go, folks. He's too afraid. You know, the referee's literally afraid of Brock Lesnar, so he won't call a disqualification. You could play that.
I would not be surprised with a lightly enforced rules for a change. It does not happen that often in the WWE. This occasion, I'd be shocked if it doesn't call for that.
Yeah, and you know, so it's kind of all their interactions have been fun. They should have a good match.
Oh,
and I think this will likely be the match, unless there's chicanery, which I guess we could talk about the potential for chicanery, but I still see more likely that Cody does get the non-roll-up, you know, very decisively clean win over Brock here.
I mean, this is one where, I guess Brock, to me, can take the loss. Like, he can take all the losses. Like, he's built up and legitimately has enough credibility that you can always sell him as being a threat. Because I do feel like he's kind of taken a decent chunk of losses here. Maybe I'm wrong. Because I'm trying to think of some.
He has lost. He has lost quite a bit on this on this run. Now there is the chicanery possibility because, I mean, I haven't really heard as much in the last week or so, but maybe a couple of weeks back, the Bray Wyatt rumors have started spreading that, you know, he's on his way back imminently and he will be involved with a major star, and Cody would possibly fit that bill.
Well, I've got to admit, did not see that rumor pop up anywhere. Myself, it's an intriguing one, and one that you could get Brock the win with, and not have Cody look bad.
Yeah,
losing two out of three,
and I think. There's a part of Cody that, you know, sees wrestling very dramatically. His dad did. His dad always saw his storylines that he would book himself as movies.
Oh. You know,
Cody could absolutely want to do the horror, want to do a horror movie brought to life storyline with Bray Wyatt.
I mean, we've definitely seen enough out of just him popping on the was it Arrow?
Yeah.
So, he definitely has a bit of a movie influence on him and his general direction as far as wrestling goes. So, yeah, it would not be shocking if he wants to be involved with the Bray Wyatt universe.
But, of course, none of that is anywhere near for sure. And
no.
It more feels like we're being set up for a huge babyface win. Now it's, of course, where does Cody go from beating Brock? Meanwhile, if Rock wins, I guess you almost have to do him and Seth again at some point.
I would think so. You know, there's a new championship involved. You can definitely get some mileage out of that situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, it even if it's a little bit of a retread of a feud, you still have some meat on the bone that you can go with there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of who else he could really be involved with on Raw there. Or is he still considered? I'm trying to remember if he's a free agent. Oh, okay. So, yeah, I guess his possibilities are a little more open. I don't feel like there's anyone on SmackDown that would be available to fight him, though, really.
Yeah,
even if Roman Reigns, and we can get to these predictions way later, but even if Roman Reigns loses, I wouldn't think that he would be available immediately to be the one to fight Brock Lesnar. Like,
we'll get into that later.
Yeah, that's why I was trying not to get too wild there with that. But what parallel was I trying to draw, though? Brock moving on. Like, there aren't a lot of names for Brock to move on to, one way or the other,
I guess.
There
really isn't anymore. Brock has gotten a lot of the names out of the way. It's definitely, you know, trying to think of what could be next for Brock. It's a little tough, especially since he turned back heel. You know, actually, a babyface Brock may have had a few more interesting matches than heel Brock.
Because I guess I was thinking, like, to me, Damian Priest would be a guy that physically could match up with Brock somewhat, and is getting to be on that stature. But then you kind of pointed out, why do you have two heels fighting each other?
Right, yes. Yeah. Of course, the Brock rematch at this point is Gunther. Once again, if Brock is and they're turning on, but they're both heels, you're not going to do that match.
So there are kind of a limited number of people for him to work with that he hasn't really worked with before. You know, I think Seth is the one guy that there's a possible fresh feud with that, you know, he's worked before.
Yeah. It's been 4 years, yes.
Oh, wow.
We've been through a global pandemic since then. Maybe it feels longer ago. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I guess speaking of Seth Rollins, we can transit. I guess final prediction. Are you going Cody or Brock for this one?
Cody.
I'm in the same boat. Like, I guess I do not expect the shenanigans. If they do transition to a Bray Wyatt thing, you can do that on Raw the next a couple of days later if you so want to. Let Cody get the win and move things along, and Brock, and he can always find something to do. Seth freaking Rollins, our world heavyweight champion, is taking on one Finn Balor, who does have, Damian Priest waiting in the wings. Those two made Raw a little interesting this week.
They did. They really did. You know, once again, weeks after Priest made his promise to Finn that he would not cash in, he attempted to cash in. didn't go his way, and him and Dom, you know, basically lost again. But it's an intriguing, you know, story heading into SummerSlam. I mean, unfortunately for Finn Balor, I mean, I would definitely argue that there's a better chance that Priest walks out with the title than he does.
I would agree with that assessment. Because, yeah, I do think that there is a better chance that he walks out of it. Because I think you and I talked about it, but I see a Seth win far more, and then maybe a cash in on him on a tired Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And then he gets salty, and then Finn Balor gets salty that way. Like, because you can still extend this storyline without Balor being pinned.
Well, I mean, he could be pinned again. I guess it's not, it wouldn't be the biggest deal in the world, but you would have a Judgment Day where everyone but Finn has a championship.
Yeah.
Even Dom.
He's gonna head after the NXT championship after this, just to one up Dom. I'm gonna be a 3-time NXT champion. Not the way it goes, sir. Not the way it goes. Yeah, I don't think Finn has done a great job. Like he has, I think, finally found his character. Post everything, quite honestly. Like, it does feel like this storyline has been cathartic for his character. And maybe that'll be good news for him moving forward. I hope it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Judgment Day has absolutely taken over Raw. And it doesn't feel like it's somewhat feels like it's getting repetitive with them and, you know, Seth, KO, and Sammy. But I think we're going to maybe start moving from that after SummerSlam regardless. Or, once again, Seth would, of course, need revenge. I'm actually going to go ahead and predict that I think Seth wins the match. And then I'm going to predict a cash-in. Because I'm not sure elsewhere on this card I'm predicting any title changes and big moments like that. So this could be that.
Okay. Interesting there. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think that Finn will come close to winning, and then Damian Priest gets to capitalize on what ends up happening within this match. It just seems like the most logical. Like, it's the only way to keep, if you want. I think Jeremy and I talked about it, about the Judgment Day being the new bloodline. Like, the only way to really extend their story is to have either Damian Priest doesn't cash in right now after this match, or, you know, he cashes in after Finn loses. You know, like, you really have to break up the group if you do it some other way. It seems like the right time. I mean, Seth doesn't necessarily need the championship to exist on Raw.
No, he really doesn't.
You know, and at least he's, as much as they're going to do it, they've gotten the title off to a quote-unquote legitimate start. So, it can maybe move on to some lesser and or up and coming names like Damian Priest. I guess the other championship match that maybe you do not think there's going to be a title change. Gunther taking on Drew McIntyre for the Intercontinental Championship.
Well, if anyone's going to do it, it could be Drew McIntyre, but we said that about Drew McIntyre about a year ago, and that didn't go well. That didn't go well either.
this is really a pretty interesting situation to me. I mean, overall.
It is interesting because, once again, because know, Drew came so close to beating Roman Reigns, and now it feels like he has regressed. More people, get on the treadmill or the, more like an up and down slide in their careers now than people say in the past, where almost no one ever would lose a world championship and then be back down in the intercontinental ranks, in the day. But it still feels like, there's some regression here for old Drew McIntyre. And if he doesn't even get, if he can't even win that.
And I guess that's what I'm thinking. Like, this is one of those matches where it is the strongest, like, either, to me, Gunther gets probably his biggest win that he's had, or Drew McIntyre breaks the streak. I guess I know that that's the two kind of obvious outcomes anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I know that it sounds kind of dumb. I do think it's a big statement because it determines, like, what is up with Drew post this whole championship run. Like, it is almost like the championship run was a fever dream for him, and it sucked because he had no crowd. And I don't feel like there's still been anything that he's like, I blame him for that, so he should suffer.
He was the pandemic champion, as Tony Storm so aptly described to Hikaru Shida on Collision this week. It's a black eye. And of no fault of his own, because they were priming him to get that title. It wasn't just a decision they made because it's like, screw it, nothing's happening anyway. Let's just put it on the Scottish guy. No, they were all in on him.
By the time the
crowds were back, they were kind of over it.
Oh man. It is it's pretty wild what has ended up happening with Drew here. So this one is to me a bit of a toss up. I guess, like, I don't feel strong either way. I guess if I'm maybe leaning a little towards one side, I guess I am leaning towards Gunther.
I'm leaning toward it could do it, but God, Gunther is so close to that Honky Tonk Man record. It's just
there's that, and especially with I guess what really popped in my head was the last result we were talking about. If Damian Priest is the WWE or the World Heavyweight Champion, why would he be taking on Gunther? Why would you put Gunther in that position? Keep him on the Intercontinental Championship, and you have two heel champions then, and you just need to come up with some babyface challengers for them.
I'm gonna predict Gunther.
Sounds like both of us ended up landing on him, even though I was a little more doubtful. So last championship match, and what I would assume is the main event here. Not the fourth main event. This is the actual real match that goes on last.
Yes, I believe. I'm
really certain
of that fact,
yes. And Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa is taking on Jey Uso in Tribal Combat. Another match I do not feel like has been very well defined as far as what these rules might be for Tribal Combat.
It's basically just anything goes. And Roman Reigns has put his 30-second lay from Target on the line. 30-cent. Yeah, I screwed up the joke. His 30-cent lay from Target also on the line.
uh, Yeah, I guess I keep on wondering what are those supposed to be shark teeth? Or is
I
it supposed to
think.
be something less sinister than that?
No, it just represents the tribal chief, which is on the line. The title of tribal chief is on the line. Once again, there will be a lot of drama in this match.
No.
They're going to go for it all. They're going to get all the weapons. They are going to have an emotional match, an emotional, dramatic, maybe over dramatic match. It'll be different from everything else on the show. I'm also
Oh.
pretty sure. Once again, they have made sure that that they get all the weapons, and they get to have that match that no one else is really going to get to have. Should once again, there's a lot of heat here. It's they've done a masterful job getting Jay ready for this. Because on the surface, it doesn't feel like like an event this big that he would work as a challenger. But
Well,
they've made it work. How the question, does he have a chance? I said he has a there's a chance. I'm not gonna call it a likelihood. But to blow this thing off correctly, at least this part of it. Or maybe not blow it off. Because I think if Roman Reigns wins when puts Jay which totally puts Jay in his place, puts Jimmy in his place, and there's nothing left. Whereas if Jay wins, then you've got a pissed off Roman Reigns, trying to get his championship back. So there's definitely arguments to giving Jay the title, including that Roman Reigns is basically going to be gone for 2 months.
well. Yeah, that seems to be a good reason to me to take the championship off of Roman Reigns.
Because you could easily do Jay versus Solo at Payback and or Fastlane, I think, or whatever.
Or possibly both of them. Like
Yeah, both of them. That's why I said and/or. Yes, you could easily, and they have, which they've shown the restraint there. They are showing the restraint. They have not done a Jay versus Solo singles match on SmackDown, and at this point, they're not going to. So that's interesting because you'd think
Oh.
that would be the easiest thing in the world. That would be the easiest thing in the world to main event an episode of SmackDown in the last few weeks, but they didn't pull the trigger on that. So Jay and Solo still have never had a one-on-one match. So that's interesting as well. Once again, the possibility is there that Jay will pull this off, especially if Jimmy shows up and they do it together. But it's Roman Reigns. It's this championship reign. Roman Reigns is now less than 30 days from 3 years. I don't think it's happening. It's possible, and I think there are going to be moments in that match where they might even get me, but in the end, I think Roman Reigns is still winning.
Yeah, I think this is one that the, to me, the $1 million question is, does the WWE think that Jey Uso is that main eventer? And that they want to, they want him to have that win, like whoever gets that win, it's gonna, obviously it's a big deal and puts a lot of pressure on them to me. Because you broke the Roman Reigns streak. Like, no matter whether it goes to a full 3 years or not, that's an impressive feat to have happen. And you don't really want to waste it.
No, you don't want to waste it. But we're coming off of a 3 year championship reign, so
Yeah.
the next guy doesn't have to hold the title forever.
Oh, yeah. And that is the other thing. Like, I fully expect not to have someone carry that championship for even remotely close to that long for quite some time.
No, we're almost there. Triple H got it in his head that not just Roman Reigns, but others had to break some, in some cases, 30-year records or what have you. The Usos, Bianca, Gunther, you know, all having to, you know, seemingly all you know, at the one point we're champions, you know, at the same time. You know, some have come on to lose those championships, but those long reigns that Triple H has really focused on, he got in his head that he really needed to rebuild these championships, but with long reigns, and he's not entirely wrong about that. And I think definitely made some captivating television. And I don't think it was a wrong move. And one of those reigns is, of course, two of those reigns are, of course, still ongoing. But there's also the question of, like I said, Roman's going away for 2 months. SmackDown does not have a lot beyond the Bloodline storyline. There's a very bad lack of depth on SmackDown. You could talk about the never ending, battle on Raw, the never ending battles between Nakamura and Ciampa and Bronson Reed and, you know, nobody cares. It's in the dust slot every week, but that's just one trio of guys who, you know, regularly make a 3-hour show. The entirety of SmackDown is just filler and just guys who are just not that over. I mean, thank God LA Knight has broken out of the pack as much as he has, because in a Roman Reigns world, you know, Austin Theory is your top guy. And if you really do, wrap up this Bloodline storyline for the most part, what the heck does SmackDown have?
I just was looking at the headline of the normal review that I get to without getting into SmackDown. And you had the very strange Santos Escobar win over Rey Mysterio.
Of course, there's a legitimate injury there. So,
yeah,
That's unfortunate they went down that way. And
and
of course that's not a match for SummerSlam. That's a match for another week and a half or so. The next episode of SmackDown. I don't foresee Santos winning that. I think that we're once again that U.S. title has to be earmarked for LA Knight, basically. Unless they're gonna quickly move to just say, we don't even need to waste LA Knight's time with the U.S. title. We're putting him against Roman as soon as possible. Which, who knows? Maybe they will do that.
It's a possibility, but it just seeing these two headlines, I'm like, man, it really is a bit of a wreck over there, and I hadn't really thought about it just because the Bloodline does consistently keep that entertaining. We had a Karrion Kross versus Karl Anderson match. So that means AJ Styles is one of the bigger names, and I suppose a babyface on the SmackDown side.
Yeah, but he's stuck in a feud with Karrion Kross. That just won't end. He beat the guy. Why is this still happening?
I don't know. It's been a pretty weird feud in my my estimation. Plus, I guess I don't feel like AJ Styles has made that many appearances in this whole comeback.
Not really, and it's just been a weird run for me. It feels like he is just at this point so far above messing around with Gallows and Anderson. I understand doing it during while the Bullet Club was at about its peak in New Japan and in ROH and the independent scene, saying these guys are the original club, but no one cares about the Bullet Club anymore. Let's be honest, and no one cares about these guys' longtime friendship. It just doesn't really mean anything.
And it's just been so strange because. I mean, Gallows and Anderson just have not been presented as even mild threats. No. You know, like they have not been given anything. And I don't know that there's necessarily a good solution for that. You know, unless you kind of rebuild them, and that just seems pretty unlikely to me at this point. So yeah, like that roster, I guess to kind of go back to what kind of started it, that the rest of that roster without Roman Reigns is pretty wonky there on SmackDown.
It is. So that is an argument in the favor of giving Jay that win, giving him that rub, letting him and Solo, feud while he's playing that, Roman Reigns is off sulking over his loss, and then you get Roman Reigns back into thing, as we hit that period between like it's Crown Jewel and Survivor Series.
Yeah, oh. Yep.
So
That would make
that would
sense.
work as opposed to SmackDown just being pillaged by Roman Reigns and then he just leaves for 2 months and who would care about Jay versus Solo or Jimmy versus Solo then without Roman Reigns around really
And
after Jay's been beat
yeah.
because when Jay loses the bulk of the storyline is over. I mean the bulk of it's already over, but you could drag out a little more. You could drag it out a little more if Jay wins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the position they've put themselves in, where that is the best way to continue that story.
I mean, I'm almost trying to talk myself into predicting Jay, but I just can't cross that bridge. If I'm genuinely predicting who I think is going to win, I still can't cross that bridge. It is still Roman Reigns
Yes.
in this run.
Despite all of the logic that we've talked about, I am also not changing. SummerSlam just does not feel like the place that they're going to do that title change, and we're going to have a really, really long reign out of Roman Reigns, who
Well, we already have.
an even longer one that is it is really going to rank up there, you
It
know.
really is. I mean, does he even lose at WrestleMania, or does he go for the Hogan at that point? He's gonna hang out till September of next year for that, by the way.
Wow. Well, and I mean, honestly, if he gets to September, there is to me, and unless there's some type of wild exception, like there was for Drew last year in Wales, where maybe you go for it because of the circumstance, because of the location. I would think that, September, if he had the championship in September, that's after the usual SummerSlam. He's home
Yeah.
free until the next, at least Royal Rumble, I would say. If he makes it to
Yeah,
September, he's at least Royal Rumble
Yeah, we're
2025. Are
25.
we talking?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, your main candidates are Cody, of course, Seth in a unification deal, and then maybe you can get the Batista storyline out of and turn out of Solo.
Oh. Yeah, those are all viable options.
Yes, I believe so, yes.
You know, but yeah, that's still not a it's amazing. Yeah, the pacing for Roman Reigns with these feuds is it's been something else. It's definitely been long and drawn out. So, kudos to them that I guess both of us still don't feel completely confident, but I guess you're also correct that we are predicting an awful lot of retentions here
Yes.
for this SummerSlam card.
For the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, yes. It feels like something big, at least one or two really big things that, change the course of WWE should happen here.
They're certainly there. I guess Seth Rollins the only title change we're really predicting. I guess to use title changes as a transition here, were you surprised that the AEW Tag Team Champions, new tag team champions weren't crowned with Adam Cole and MJF?
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. I didn't think they would go all the way with them winning. And I mean, what a catastrophe, clusterfuck, whatever you want to refer to it, AEW has booked themselves into. They have one long-running storyline, and people do not want to see it end with a one-on-one match between the two people involved.
Yeah, I think that's what you call a conundrum. Yeah, people want it to keep on going. Everyone knows what the logical conclusion is. Yet no one wants that logical conclusion to happen anytime.
No, they don't. I mean, and they basically booked themselves into a corner where if there's going to be a turn, it probably should be Cole. And then MJF finally goes full babyface.
Yeah, it would definitely suit. This is something general. It's been kind of interesting to me that we have definitely on Collision there had full on heel Nigel McGuinness announcer, and him getting to crow about Adam Cole being the one to turn and how he'd predicted it will be quite amusing when it happens.
Wembley is now less than 4 weeks away, and they don't have a main event announced. That's insane. 75. Technically, we have not had an announcement how we can even watch this thing. And there hasn't been a main event announced. And 75,000 people bought tickets to this thing on the blind faith that they were going to see an amazing show. I wouldn't have done that to those. I wouldn't have done this to those people.
It's kind of wild that there is nothing on paper for an event a month away. Because
It's of this size, of this scope. It really is incredible.
yeah, that's one of those ones where I think I've ended up realizing that the WWE, by what it is, Royal Rumble, you can usually have a pretty good idea of what the main two or three storylines are going to be. Like they don't have the re obviously they don't have the rest of the card played out, but by Rumble you're like, oh, okay, it's probably going to be this champion, men's championship, that men's championship, and this women's championship, and you can go from there. Yeah, there's been nothing of the sort for Wembley.
No, I mean you finally had CM Punk mention it in passing. And I guess the one thing they've got is Punk going for the title. And I guess he might as well win the damn thing. But of course you got your champion who's going to be on Dynamite most weeks then.
Yeah.
This is a mess. They are in a disorganized mess, and there's just nothing that interesting going on. Even at their worst, WCW and TNA always had, a number of things always going on. They may have been stupid. They may not have been competent, but there were stuff that things were happening, and this feels like outside of the random match generator, nothing is happening in AEW right now. And it's felt that way for a good chunk of the last year.
It was kind of wild to me that Andrade versus Buddy Matthews, this story has been going ongoing. Just, I was not invested at all in it. I don't.
No, a random object ladder match feels so TNA. Just an excuse to have a ladder match on TV, you know? It feels so TNA.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the match.
I did too.
But, yeah, I'm with you. Like, it just, I guess I brought it up. Like, it just felt random. Like, it still doesn't feel like a consistent enough story of one that that I should get invested in. So, no, yeah.
There really isn't. I mean, I guess we've started a thing with Punk and Ricky Starks, but I feel like they're going to blow, they're just setting that up to be blown off. Unless, of all things to happen, Tony Khan becomes the first booker in wrestling history, the former booker in wrestling history, to have Ricky Steamboat turn heel.
they did play up how
honorable he is.
Honorable he is. I guess that could be the setup for him doing something heelish. it'd be kind of funny to just have him blame it on being an old man.
Yeah, and then have Ricky Starks walking around with the fake with Punk's fake world championship, basically.
Oh, yeah. I was about in tears when I saw the conspiracy theory that CM Punk X'd out the E because of the Elite. I'm just like,
oh my God.
What level of drugs are you taking?
My God. No. At the end of the day, though, these Elite fellas, particularly Omega, they gotta get over themselves and realize that working with Punk is, it might be the only thing AEW has in their toolbox.
Yeah, I don't know if that's reason to put it off or not. I definitely do not think that it's headlining Wembley Stadium one way or the other. If it does happen, no. It's not happening that quickly.
Yeah, no. I mean, I guess Wembley is going to be headlined by Punk and MJF. But then what do you really do with the whole Adam Cole? None of this is jiving. None of this makes sense. And then, of course, half your rosters literally are just separate from each other. And, well, I don't even know if Collision adds up to a half, but still. The people on Collision are basically on an island unto themselves. It's a mess right now. It's absolutely insane that what happened at All Out last year is still playing out in front of our eyes and harming the TV show, the TV product.
I guess that's the one interesting thing, I suppose. I don't know what it is about Collision. I do feel like I get in, I get out, I enjoy, yes. And like
I do enjoy Collision. Yes.
Yeah, yes. That's the like the storylines are a mess, but the show itself really flows well. Like it's a real contradiction within the product.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. It is a fun show to watch. I mean, many of the same show issues do exist. Like, just, I mean, I know you enjoyed the heck out of the match, and so did I, but Darby Allin and Minoru Suzuki just happening with unannounced, just seemingly for no reason.
They're like, this happened a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just like, I guess I remember watching that match, but I didn't think that Minoru Suzuki was still hanging out in the U.S. to have a match.
I guess he is. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Darby Allin was just trying to give the old man a heart attack by giving him the usual suicide dive there. Good God. That man, so all in. So all in.
No, he's all out. Because his match versus Luchasaurus is the only thing officially announced for either of the pay-per-views AEW has coming up within a week of each other.
Oh, yeah, that was the other one. Jeremy was shocked, just shocked. Then I'm like, no, dude, that's two pay-per-views, back-to-back weeks. Like, I don't know what the fuck they were doing. Like, who scheduled this shit?
And as far as I can tell, they have not gotten any special streaming deal for this, for any of this. Maybe on Bleacher Report, there'll be some type of a discount for people who buy both, but that's not for sure either. So as of right now, I believe both are scheduled to be $50 pay-per-views.
Good gravy. Oh boy. Well, yeah. I guess because nothing has been predicted for either, we will play a wait and see game on my end about which one I end up getting. It just really seems impractical to do back to back weekends.
Yeah, it does.
So I get an odd feeling that I'm going to end up choosing one or the other, and I just feel like because it's later on the calendar that All In or All Out. What the fuck did... Oh, Jesus, whatever. I don't care.
All Out.
Just because simply it's later on the calendar, I'd pick it.
But will you be home on that Sunday night? Because that is Labor Day weekend.
Oh, well, shit, I forgot about...
My flight will get in several hours before that, so if I still choose, I think I can pull that one off, but you sound like you might have been staying a little bit later than me.
Drive isn't bad, so there is a very real possibility. It's only 3 hours to Pittsburgh, so there's... even should I stay a little bit later on Sunday... there's ample time for me to get back in time for a 8 o'clock pay-per-view that's probably going to last until Lord only knows when, because it's Tony Khan running a pay-per-view show.
Right, and you still wouldn't have to go back to work on Monday, so it'd be fine.
Yeah, and I still have a day to recover. So, good news, everybody. I think that about wraps up Collision Talk for week.
We've had quite the long show here.
Beltime Beer. I am a day late since today is August the 1st. I had forgotten that I, by surprise, found some beer from Charlotte in my mailbox. And there were two of them that I was going to do for Christmas in July. I got one in last week with Shahid. This week, despite it being August, I'm going to go with the Christmas in July theme. Sugar Creek Brewing Sugar Cookie Inspired Blonde Ale. It is an 8% blonde ale, which is, quite frankly, I feel like this should be called a double. Most blonde ales are sitting at about 5% alcohol. So this is a solid 3% up. It is very tasty and does have just like that nice amount of anisey flavor that goes into a sugar cookie. It really comes out in this beer. So should one find themselves in Charlotte, North Carolina, Sugar Creek Brewing is a tasty place to visit, and though you may not get the sugar cookie beer, I will say that they do offer several other beers that are very, very good that I've had previously when visiting Mr. Mays. So that is the hashtag Belltime Beer of the show. I am at DeFrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.